Let's pray.
God, I just thank you for this time that you've allowed me to open up the scriptures this morning to the people here at Faith Bible Church. Lord, allow me not to use my own wisdom, but to allow your Holy Spirit to guide me as I share the truths of your word this morning. Thank you that your word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and pierces even to our hearts, Lord, and is able to change us to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So a Sunday school teacher decided that she wanted to have her children memorize a passage of Scripture, one of the most quoted passages in the Bible. She gave the children 1 month to go ahead and memorize that chapter. There's a little boy in her class named Ricky who was excited about this task, but he just couldn't remember the verses. After much practice, he could barely get past the first line of the verse. On the day that the kids were scheduled to recite the passage in front of the congregation, Ricky was very nervous. When it was his turn to go up, step up in front of the microphone, he said proudly, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." Well, Ricky did capture one of the images that we will be taking a look at today in Psalm 23 in the first four verses. But David gives us two more images to show how the Lord relates to his people. And we will discuss these three images, including the shepherd that Ricky mentioned when it was his time to say Psalm 23 in front of his audience. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Psalm 23. Now, last week on Easter Sunday, Pastor George preached a sermon entitled David's Profoundly Prophetic Confidence in the Lord from Psalm chapter 16. And he had mentioned how the Lord gives you his counsel, the Lord rewards your confidence in him, and the Lord himself will be your eternal companion. Now, in Psalms 23, the same author, David, is penning this text, and I'm sure you've heard many sermons on this particular text before. It's one of the best-known passages in the Old Testament. It's a hymn of confidence. For funerals you've been at in the past, I'm sure you have heard Psalm 23 preached at some time in your life. Well, let's begin with verse 1, and we'll go through the whole chapter. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So we've been going through the Psalms in our Sunday morning class with the youth for several months now, and we're up to Psalm 40. And Psalms 23, you may wonder, how does that fit in the Psalter? There's 150 different chapters by various psalmists, and the immediate context shows it part of a trilogy of psalms, with Psalms 22, 23, and 24. And you may wonder how this little chapter of six verses relates with Psalms 22 that has 31 verses and Psalms 24 that has 10 verses. Well, Psalms 22 has been labeled by the early church as the fifth gospel after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it foreshadows Jesus Christ suffering as a servant on the cross. We now view it as a historical event that took place in the past, approximately 2,000 years ago. Psalms 24, on the other hand, reveals a sovereign Lord reigning with a crown, a prophetic event that we believe will be fulfilled in the future when Jesus will rule the entire earth. Now, Psalms 23, our text this morning, describes the shepherd providing with a rod and a staff, an event that has present ramifications, even though David wrote this psalm approximately 3,000 years ago. So what is the focus on the psalm? Is it just another psalm that David talked about? Is it something that's just about a shepherd? That might be the first thing that comes to your mind. The focus is on the Lord. The Lord is the subject that opens up the psalm. He is the protagonist of the psalm. And you might want to know, does the Lord have adequate credentials to be my shepherd, my manager, and my owner in my life? So our first point that we'll look at this morning is the Lord guides as a shepherd. The Lord guides as a shepherd. And that is seen here in the first four verses of Psalm 23. Ironically, when David says in that first phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," we see a human shepherd describing the divine shepherd. David was just a shepherd boy when Samuel had anointed him with oil in front of his seven older brothers back in 1 Samuel 16. The shepherd is the Lord. And you see behind you a picture of sheep. This is an implication with David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," that he is a sheep. That must have been a humbling thing for David to say. Sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd for direction, health, provision, and protection. The introductory tone in this first phrase shows David's humility. For he was a shepherd with many sheep he was responsible for. Could you imagine, for those of you who own pets or may have had experience with owning a farm or doing some work on a farm in the past, caring for animals, where you put yourself on the same level with one of those animals, like David does here with the sheep that he tended for on a daily basis in his youth? We see that "the Lord is my shepherd" is a title that can be used for kings. 2 Samuel 5:2, God told King Saul, "You shall be shepherd of my people, Israel." And as Pastor George mentioned this morning in the reading of John 10, Jesus even says, "I am the good shepherd." The title here shows us that the shepherd causes David to not want when he says, "I shall not want." That's what it says, at least in the New American Standard Bible that I'm reading. But a couple of other translations may give you a little better perspective of what David was saying. For example, the New Jewish Public Society translation says, "I lack nothing." Or the New Living Translation says, "I have everything I need." Want is not so much on the idea of desiring something as on the lack of something needed. We see at the end of verse 1 how the shepherd guides in providing. Once again, verse 1, "I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." At the beginning of verse 2, we see the shepherd caring. We also see the shepherd directing when he says, "He restores my soul." He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the shepherd encourages as well. Restoring my soul. This can refer to repentance and conversion or refreshment and relief. You be the choice for how you interpret that. My position is that he is restoring David with refreshment and relief here when he restores his soul. Derek Kidner, the author of the Tyndale Old Testament commentary, said, "Reviving of the sheep pictures the deeper renewal of the man of God, spiritually perverse or ailing as he may be." So the shepherd not just provides for his sheep, cares for his sheep, directs for his sheep, encourages his sheep, But we also see him guiding his sheep at the end of verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd also will guide his sheep by defending them during danger. Looking at verse 4 again. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When we were at Death Valley National Park for our retreat last year, we had a little contest, for those who remember going, about who could say the valley of the shadow of death louder, the boys or the girls. I'm sure the girls would say they won, the boys would probably say they won. However, David did not have any insight of what Death Valley National Park would look like when he wrote this psalm. Robert Davidson, author of Vitality Worship, used this shadow of death as a life-threatening situation in precarious terrain where the flock would be exposed to attack. Pastor James Montgomery Boyce, who preached at the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia for 32 years until his death in 2000, said, "It is important to note that the valley of the shadow of death is as much God's right path for us as the green pastures mentioned in verse 2, which lie beside quiet waters. That is, the Christian life is not always tranquil, nor, as we say, a mountaintop experience. God gives us valleys also. It is the valleys with their trials and dangers in which we develop character." We see that David switches how he addresses God from the second person in verse 4, from the third person in verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness." While here in verse 4, all of a sudden the second person is mentioned when he says, "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table. You anoint my head with oil," going on in verse 5. So what are these two instruments that David uses as a sense of protection for his sheep? The rod and the staff. You probably are maybe familiar with it, maybe not, if you've never seen a shepherd before. The rod was basically the shepherd's defensive weapon, to be used against wild animals. It was a short instrument like a mace. The staff was a shepherd who controlled the sheep. Philip Keller would probably give you a better perspective of what this rod and staff looked like than a guy like myself who was inexperienced with sheep. He was a rancher and sheep owner in East Africa for 8 years. And he said that the rod and the staff are the common and universal equipment of the primitive sheepman. Every shepherd took special pride in the selection of his rod and staff suited to his own size and strength. The shepherd would go into the bush and select a young sapling which was dug from the ground. The shepherd would then go ahead and carve and whittle down with great care and patience that piece of wood. The enlarged base of the sapling, where its trunk joins the roots, was shaped into a smooth, rounded head of hard wood. The sapling itself is shaped to exactly fit the owner's hand. After he completed it, the shepherd would spend hours practicing with this club, learning how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. The rod was an extension of the owner's right arm. It stood as a symbol of strength, power, and authority in any serious situation. It was used as a safeguard from danger and used to discipline and correct wayward sheep that insisted on wandering their own way. Now, we see that there's also individuals that have used what David penned here in Psalm 23 as maybe the last words that they said in this lifetime. Edward Irving, for example, was a 19th century Scottish pastor who died prematurely at the age of 42. Here is an excerpt from the last moments on his life. His gaunt, gigantic frame bore all the marks of age and weakness. His face was wasted, his hair white, his voice broken, his eyes restless and unquiet. As November drew to its close, his feebleness increased till it was evident that his life was rapidly passing away. His mind began to wander. Those who watched at his bedside could not understand the broken utterances spoken in an unknown tongue by his faltering voice. But at last it was found that he was repeating to himself in Hebrew, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." It was with something like its old power that the dying voice swelled as it uttered the glorious conviction, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." The last particulate words that fell from his lips were, "If I die, I die unto the Lord. Amen." And with that, he passed away at midnight, December 7th, 1834. Now, the shadow of death that is mentioned here in verse 4 could include death, as with Edward Irving, but is not just limited to death. We see that there are many valleys that we face in our lives similar to what David did as he penned verse 4. So in these four verses, the Lord, David's shepherd, gave him life, rest, guidance, safety, and security, and will do the same for all of his true sheep. Hopefully this morning you know that you are one of the true sheep of God. And if you are wondering who this true shepherd is, we would love to share that with you after the service is over. So the Lord's faithfulness is not just seen through the guidance of the shepherd in the first four verses, as Ricky thought, but it is also seen as the Lord provides as a host in verse 5. The Lord provides as a host. Where did he provide as a host? In a banquet hall. So we see how the scene changes from a shepherd in the field to now the Lord being a host in the banquet hall. This host would give lavish hospitality. You may picture in your mind banquets that you have been part of before. Maybe a wedding banquet of yours if you're married, or maybe a banquet in high school if you ever went to a prom, or if you went to some lavish ceremony, and you may think, good thoughts in your mind. However, the banquet that is mentioned here from the Lord is superior to any human picture that we can think of regarding the banquet, as seen here at the PowerPoint. When David says, "You have anointed my head with oil," what is he talking about? You might not think in our country today that you see kids getting oil put on their head or adults having oil on their head. You might just think of oil change or oil used in any other way than putting it on your head. Well, in the ancient Near East, oil was used to eliminate lice by smearing the hair with oil. This treatment would prevent oxygen from penetrating the head and would cause the lice to suffocate. Solomon mentions in Ecclesiastes 9 that oil was considered a token of happiness. It is mentioned as a symbolic of prosperity in Ezekiel 16. However, David, when he penned this, was probably reflecting over the oil that was poured on his head on three separate occasions. First, as mentioned earlier, Samuel had anointed David privately in front of his brothers, 1 Samuel 16. Second, David was anointed publicly before his tribe of Judah. And then third, David had been anointed publicly before the nation of Israel. That is probably the image that David had in his mind when he said, "You have anointed my head with oil." Anoint means to be fat. And in our culture today, we probably don't think of that as very good terms, being fat. The meaning that we can get from this is that God is the source of David's joy, and he provides him as his guest with comfort and refreshment. But then you see the phrase before that, how he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, that sounds kind of interesting, that there would be a banquet with food and drink and all this stuff going on when David was surrounded by his enemies. According to customs, the honored guest was safe because the host was obliged to protect his guest at all costs. This picture here in verse 5 shows forth a marvelous picture of safety and security. The Lord spread out a table before David, even with this danger that surrounded him. We see at the end of verse 5, my cup overflows. Here we see the host is an abundant provider. The food and the drink that were at this banquet never ran out. God had filled David's life with abundant physical provisions. So in verses 1 through 4, we see the shepherd who guides. In verse 5, we see the host who provides. And finally, in verse 6, we see the Lord supplies as a benefactor. The Lord supplies as a benefactor. Now, you may be wondering, benefactor? I don't see that in the text. I see the house of the Lord. Wouldn't the Lord be maybe a homeowner or something different than a benefactor? Well, notice that first phrase in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So whether that was when he was a shepherd in the field in the first four verses, or that host in the banquet hall in verse 5, or now as this benefactor in the sanctuary, God would provide for him. A benefactor, as defined by the American Heritage College Dictionary, is just one that gives aid, especially financial aid. And you may think of somebody that comes to your mind, like a parent or a grandparent or a good friend that has given financial aid in the past in your life to help make your life easier. Well, with God being the benefactor here in verse 6, he already owns everything. So this goodness and mercy that he is providing is just a couple of the attributes that make up his nature. David realized God's loyal love would go with him everywhere throughout his entire life. God's blessings on his people remain with them no matter what their circumstance may be. Whether David was going through those green pastures next to his shepherd, or whether he was going through the valley, the shadow of death, mentioned in verse 4. Follow could more accurately be translated pursue. And this isn't just being pursued in some kind of passive way, but in an aggressive way. Forever is equated with length of days. So when you see right at the end of verse 6, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, you might be thinking, is that after this life is over? Or what does that actually mean? It means length of days. So David had the assurance that God's goodness and mercy would follow him throughout the rest of his life. The house of the Lord here refers to a tabernacle during David's life, even though many contemporary Christians today would refer to it as the heavenly temple with future significance. When I first thought of the house of the Lord, I was thinking of houses that I've been in here as well as when I grew up. I was thinking back to 6 months ago when I was with my grandfather in the house that he had lived in for 46 years for one last time before he put it up on the market after my grandmother's death. And Even though I knew that my grandfather would not see his wife for 53 years again, I was thinking that he could still have joy or goodness and mercy that would follow him, similar to David here, because based on his profession of faith in Christ, he could still experience communion with the Lord, as David was experiencing here, even though he was going through a valley, a tough time in his life. The Hebrew verb for "I will dwell" at the end of verse 6, "and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever," conveys the idea of returning. It's the same Hebrew word that's used in verse 3 when David says, "He restores my soul." So perhaps David was in some way separated from the sanctuary and from the full enjoyments of the benefits of worshiping God in the tabernacle. David's meditation on the Lord's leading and provisions prompted him to recall his communion with the Lord in his sanctuary. So the picture that you see up there, "and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," is something that a human benefactor just simply cannot provide. When you think of some imaginary road leading up to the heavenly realm, which is probably not the greatest reflection from what the text says of the tabernacle that David was actually residing in. However, David was able to have thoughts of peace, knowing that God's goodness and mercy would follow him when he would enter the house of the Lord in Israel. So in conclusion, God's faithfulness to David is depicted as a shepherd who guides, as a host who provides, and as a benefactor in the sanctuary. When you think of all the political uncertainty that's in America today and around the world, will you dare to go out into the unknown without your shepherd, your host, and your benefactor? There's a recent report from Fox News that's a general had said that even terrorism from just 2010 to 2015 has gone up 800%. What could that look like just from 2016 to 2021? We don't know. But if the shepherd is the host and benefactor in your life, you can have comfort and security as one of his sheep. So is the sovereign shepherd guiding in your life? Can you peacefully sit at the table of your gracious host? Are you experiencing the goodness and the loving kindness of the Lord in your life? A poet once said, "So I go on not knowing, and I would not if I might. I'd rather walk with God in the dark than to walk alone in his light. I'd rather walk with him by faith than to walk alone by sight." So just pause for a moment to reflect on those credentials of the shepherd, host, and benefactor. Allow him to guide you, provide for you, and supply your needs through the green pastures and the valleys of your life. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. And using me as an adequate vessel to proclaim your word and show forth the images that you portray here in Psalms 23. Lord, it's a sense of comfort when we go through tough times in life, as well as good times in life, to keep in mind that your benefits as a shepherd, host, and benefactor are incomparable to anything that we see on this earth. Help us to apply this message to our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.